in the Gemara here, understanding Kol Havara, which we'll see, is very and very practical and relevant halacha l'maaseh implications as well. This is not recorded, so I wanted to record on the phone. You can. No, I'm recording here. If you want, whatever you want. This is not recorded. Okay, so the Gemara Mishnah really talks about. The Mishnah says, "Hatukei l'soch habor." If one blows a shofar into a pit, and I just put the ritva out there, just as an interesting historical note, and fascinating how big halachic concepts developed. But for those who know Jewish history, so there are times when there were we were not allowed to blow shofar, and so this is a case where this is a time when you weren't allowed to blow shofar. So what do? They went into hiding. They went into a cave. They went into a pit, and they blew the shofar in there. So hatukei l'soch habor, l'soch hadus, l'soch hapitam. So one of these pitas, maybe that is, one of these kinds of structures, the Rishonim explain exactly, a bor is in the ground, a deus is above the ground, but some kind of structure. So then the Mishnah says, in kol shofar shama yatzah, if you heard the sound of the shofar, you're yotze, vim kol havara shama lo yatzah. If you heard the sound of, we don't know what that means yet, but you heard some kind of other sound of the pit, so then you are not yotze. And that's what the Mishnah says. And the Gemara comments on that towards the bottom. Amar Rav Huna lo shanu ela lo osen ha'omdim al svas habor. This discussion is only for the people that are standing on the edge of the bor. But the people aval osen ha'omdim misoch or bavor, those who are inside of the pit, yatzu. So they are yotze. And that's basically, the Gemara has three different ways of saying it. But basically, that's what the Gemara says: a brisa and then a stira of an answer, and that's how the Gemara says comes out. So how do we read the Mishnah? So the simple pshat is like the Be'er Halacha, like the Rosh Ha'ar's Medayik from Rashi. A simple way to read it is Lo Shanu. This statement of our Mishnah says when you blow into a bor, and it depends on what you hear. So Lo Shanu Ela Osim Ha'Omdim Al Svas HaBor. That is only for the people on the outside. What's the implication? The people on the outside, what's the halacha? If they hear what. They're standing there, the guy's blowing the shofar, is going into the pit. And they're on the outside, so what should be the halacha then? Right, it should depend on and whether they hear the shofar or the echo. Right, because that's what the Mishnah says. Yehuda's saying, Lo Shana, this statement was only stated for the people on the outside, but the person inside the bor, of course, he's just going to hear the sound of the shofar, because he's standing on the... there's something else, apparently there's something else getting in the way of the sound when he's inside the pit. That is a simple reading. That's how the Rosh is Medayik from Rashi.
Why would you need that comment then? Isn't it obvious that the one in the pit wouldn't hear anything but the shofar?
But that's happening. Okay. But the main point is to highlight that this, that on the outside, that's when it depends on what you hear. On the inside, you'll be yotze.
What if you're inside
and somehow you hear it? Okay. So Rashi says, Osana omdim babor yotzu, shehein kol ha-shofar l'olam shamo. They're always going to hear the sound of the shofar. They're inside with the shofar. They're going to hear the shofar. So that's the simple reason. As you saw, the Rush argues, and the Rush says that if you say like this, you know, it's very hard to know exactly what you're hearing on the outside. You're hearing the echo from the pit. Are you hearing the sound of the shofar? Or what's going on out there? So the Rush says that he doesn't think that's a pshat. The Rush argues and he thinks that you're always going to hear the kol havara when you're outside the pit. Until the Rush basically comes out. Now, an interesting difference between the Rush and Rashi in terms of how to read the Hemshech of the Gemara, the Karban Nisanel points this out. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Karban Nisanel notes that the question is, how do you read the Gemara later? When the Gemara says, at the end of the day, the Gemara says, Rabbah tells us that if you heard a little bit while you're inside and then you heard the rest while you're outside, it's your Yotze. Right, so you start blowing while you're inside. You're walking out of the pit as you're blowing. You're still yotze. And what's the Havamina? What does the Gemara say?
If you say that, if you hear the beginning, if you hear the end and not the beginning, then you would assume that also the end and not the beginning.
Now, let's say that was the Gemara's whole side discussion. Now I'm skipping to the end of the Gemara. The Gemara says that you are the same guy blowing the whole time, so you're hearing the beginning and the end.
Yeah, so it doesn't work.
So why would it not have worked? You what? Your ears would be above, right? So you might step out of the shofar, right? You might step out of the pit, and you're blowing as you're walking on, your ears come out. So for that moment, you're hearing, your ears are outside and your shofar is inside. Right? That's what the Gemara, that's what the Gemara says. So what's the Kamashbalan? On? What? It's uncommon. So that's what the Ritva says. It's not common. You don't have to worry about that. The Rush also says, you don't have to worry about that. Right? Well, what are the chances your ears are going to go up before the shofar? You know, it's unlikely. So it's uncommon. You don't have to worry about it. That's what the Rush says. So the Karban HaSanal asks, according to Rashi, which Beis Yosef points out, is also the Rambam Shita, according to Rashi, if there's any place where you're going to hear the kol shofar when you're on the outside, it's when your ears are right out. It's the closest you could be to the pit. Right? So he said, according to Rashi, outside it depends on what you hear. But your ears are going to hear, obviously going to hear the sound of the shofar. I mean, if there's anyone that's going to hear the sound of the shofar, not the sound of the echo, it's your ears. Because your ears are right there. Right? The Rush pointed out, according to Rashi, it's dependent. If you're close or you're far. But here it's most clear. Everyone hear the kasha? So the Karban HaSanal has a different read of the Gemara. It's an interesting read of the Gemara. So he says,
Rashi never gives his own explanation of Kamashmalan means.
Rashi does or does not?
Does not.
Okay.
So Rashi could just say Kamashmalan means Kamashmalan, it's still not a problem. And doesn't have to say it because it's uncommon. He could say it because in this specific case, we can definitely assume that you're going to hear.
Good. Excellent. So that's basically what the Karban HaSanal says is the Pshat and Rashi. The Pshat and Rashi is like this, that if you would tell me, if you would say that this is a regular case of blowing in a pit, right? Let's say, it depends on the kol havara and the kol shofar, so then you might learn like the Rush. Then you might learn like the Rush. You might think that you can't really hear the sound of the shofar when you're coming out. Because that if you're going to tell me in that case you're hearing the echo, so then obviously you never really hear the sound of the shofar. So we emphasize, comes Rabbah to emphasize that your yotze, to highlight to you, you're absolutely going to be yotze, you're definitely going to hear the sound of the shofar here, because you're right outside. The pshat is not like the Rush, that it depends on whether you can, you can't, no. Sorry, not like the Rush, that it's always, you're not yotze. Rather, it depends on whether you can hear. And in this case, of course you're going to be yotze, because it's so close. And so I think that's what you're trying to say, Matthew, too. It's dispelling a havamina to say, like the Rush, you absolutely can't hear when your ears are outside the show. Okay. That's a small point. Now, moving towards more halacha l'maisa on this, so the nafka mina, the Taz points out, the nafka mina probably, potentially, between Rashi and the, well, let's say this way, the Be'er Halacha kind of gets into discussion. The nafka mina between Rashi and the Rush is really how to understand what the Kol Havara is in the first place. Now, what's this issue? Are you hearing, which sound are you hearing? According to, well, what is the issue with the Kol Havara? Let's say it this way.
Moshe said it because you're not hearing from Baku.
So before we get to Rav Moshe, before you saw Rav Moshe, I think Rav Moshe is saying opposite. It's a little unclear in the Lashon. I think Rav Moshe is saying the opposite. So the way the Rush says it is the problem is there's a mixture of sounds. You're not hearing a pure sound of the shofar. You're hearing the sound of the shofar plus the echo that's created by the pit. Okay? So that's the problem with the Kol Havara. Now, if that's the case, and this is almost why the Rush argues, can you ever say you're hearing the Kol Shofar, not the Kol Havara? Whenever there's a situation, there's a mixture of the echo and the sound of the shofar. Right? So that when we talk about what you're hearing, so the Taz has a comment, or the Be'er Halacha explains that according, and I think what he's saying is the Pashas is according to Rashi, that it should depend on whether it's a strong sound, or the Kol Havara is some kind of weakened sound. So did you hear, the way he learns Rashi, did you hear the pure sound of the shofar, or did you hear a weakened sound? So if you heard a weakened sound through the situation, so then you're not Yotzei. If you heard a good, strong sound, then you are Yotzei. That's how he learns. And then that's a question for you to figure out. And that's why the Taz, it makes a lot of sense what the Taz says. Let's say you're standing outside of shul and you hear the shofar. You're outside of shul, you hear the shofar. So Taz says, oh, here too, it should depend on what you hear and how far you are. If we're talking about echoes and mixtures, why does the distance make so much of a difference? On a simple level, the distance makes effects whether you're hearing kind of the pure sound or you're hearing a weakened sound because of the walls, because of the distance, there's a weakened sound to the shofar. That's how the Be'er Halacha learns this chiluk. And that leads to what Matthew was just saying, Ramosha's tshuva. Ramosha was asked about using a microphone for Kriyas HaMegillah. Using a microphone for Kriyas HaMegillah, right? So can you use a microphone? So says Ramosha, if you want to tell me Kol Havara should matter, it's irrelevant. Why is Kol Havara irrelevant? Or not that it's irrelevant, but if you want to apply Kol Havara, it doesn't apply here, because Kol Havara is when the sound is weakened. So Moshe writes. I'm going to put my sheet. Moshe here on the sheet, Elik Beis, Simon Kuvches. So Moshe says, V'lo da kvo taraso b'loshono, de'ein shayach ze l'kol havara, it's not shayach to kol havara, shibim masnisin, de Rosh Hashanah, dav chav zayin, sharei hacha nishma kol chazak ubari. So this is not like kol havara, because kol havara is the opposite of a strong, healthy sound. Sounds like kol havara is a weak sound, like the Be'er Halacha said, and more in line with Rashi, that kol havara is a weak sound. But here, with the microphone, it's a very strong sound. There's no chisaron of havara. When you have a microphone, you produced a powerful sound. So that shouldn't be the problem. That's what Moshe says, and that's going along the line of reasoning of this idea that it's a weakened sound. Now, Ramosha, I think with the way the next line is a little unclear. He says the kavanas kvot taraso he shomrim shenishma kol acher shenivra mikolo. So he says that whoever's asking the shayla said the problem with the microphone is that you hear a different sound that's created. You're not hearing the original sound. You're hearing something else. V'lachein shayach dimyono l'nishma milav bar chiyuva. He says that's more compared to hearing from milav bar chiyuva de kol avara lo shayach milav bar chiyuva. He learns exactly not like the Rush. He says you can't compare Kol Havara to a Lav Bar Chiyuva. Lav Bar Chiyuva means you hear a sound from one person and another person. And you hear from two different people, so who are you hearing the sound from? That's what he sounds like this, the Shoah wanted to say. But he says that's not what Kol Havara is talking about. Kol Havara is something else. Sounds like Kol Havara, he's learning, is a weak sound. So that's where Moshe rejects the Kol Havara application to a microphone. Kol Havara is a weak sound, microphone is a strong sound, and don't get me hearing from a Lav Bar Chiyuva. Well, the truth is, the Be'er Halacha himself doesn't like that pshat. Be'er Halacha himself prefers the other pshat, that it's mixtures. And so Ramosha does seem to learn Kol Havara that way. The Be'er Halacha himself, later on in the Be'er Halacha, I didn't give you the whole thing. You could have seen more. I guess I should have told you to see more if you wanted to. It's a long piece. But later on, he basically points out that the pashtus is that it's about a mixture. In fact, the Gemara even talks about the sounds mixing together. So Kol Havara seems to be more about a mixture of sounds, and that would be the problem. And he tries to fit his shot into the Taz and into this idea of the distance. That it's that Kol Havara could mean a mixture and also some kind of not clear sound.
The mixture. Like the second one, doesn't it? It says specifically the Lora.
Specifically what?
Specifically the Kol Havara, not a mixture.
So who says?
The Gemara, the Mishnah.
The Gemara says in Kol Havara, it's true, but the Gemara talks about the Arbe of Kola. I don't know how to read that line, because the Gemara says it's even because the Gemara talks about hearing the shofar before the sounds get mixed. So he goes back and forth, and maybe, I mean, he basically says, maybe this would fit with what you're saying, is that he ultimately says that it's either a mixture of sounds is a kol havara, or some kind of kol ba'alma that's not a pure kol. That's what he suggests, and therefore you can have, so any time you have some kind of tampered sound, the tampered sound is the kalavar. That's what the Be'er Halacha concludes about this. But, you know, Rav Moshe, I'm not sure Rav Moshe is going along the lines of what he's saying here, because you know, at the end of the day, it is a tampered sound. It changes the sound. But so Rav Moshe assumes that that kalavar doesn't apply. Again, because he says it's a strong sound. Not so much about, he's not going with the mixture mahalach or the tampered mahalach, he's just going with the quality of the sound, and that seems to be his shita, but we'll see others in a minute. Yes.
What did the Taz say?
The Taz said that which we say kalavara in terms of blowing into a pit also applies to a situation where you're away from you're like outside of a shul. And you're, you know, are you hearing the sound of the shofar? Are you hearing the sound of the kalavar? So he seems to say in terms of distance, right?
And the issue of distance also applies to distance.
Correct. Again, that does make sense with Rashi, that the distance should play a role. And then the question is, how exactly do you define this?
The Rush argued.
La halacha, the Shulchan Aruch goes like Rashi. Right, the Shulchan Aruch basically goes like Rashi, as the Mishnah Berurah explains here, and the Mishnah Berurah says l'chatchila we should be machmir, that we should passel everything, but the Shulchan Aruch maker din is like Rashi in the Rambam, that there is a possibility of hearing. So, but the Be'er Halacha doesn't want to say that it's just about weak sound, because we found another indication that it's other things. So, but Rav Moshe does go with the weak sound approach, and but others argue the Minchas Elazar. The Munkacher Rebbe is quoted as saying this, as arguing that. So he says the pshat that Rav Moshe rejects. He says that it's a problem because you're hearing the sound of the person or the sound of the shofar with another sound. So which Rav Moshe rejected, but he says if you have a combination of sounds, so that's potentially kol havara, and so that's why Minchas Lozer says it's no good. Because it really is a combination of sounds. And Rav Shlomo Zalman goes even further, and he has a long tshuva where he explains how microphones work, and basically what he explains is that when you, he gives a mushel, he does admit this is a mushel, but he says that playing on a microphone is the equivalent of recording something and listening to it later, halachically. Because the way a microphone works, apparently, is that you produce sound waves, and the sound waves go into the microphone, and then there's some kind of device, membrane, he calls it, I don't know exactly, but some kind of device in there that converts your sound waves into electricity, and then through, if you had a cord, you know, microphone with a cord, through the cord to the amplifier, or whatever, however wireless works, to the amplifier that produces those sounds at an amplified volume. But he says the mechanism is the same as when you record something and then play it, because either way you're changing, you're converting your sound waves into electricity and then producing it. He says, okay, it happens at the same time, but what difference does it make? Either way, the idea is that you're not produced, not a natural sound, it's a produced sound through electricity. Yes?
Since you listen to initially your microphone, you technically listen to
a recording of it. So according to Shlomo Zalman, you wouldn't be able to either of them. Kalavara lo yatsa, as it says in our Mishnah. According to Shlomo Zalman, either way it would be bad. You're not Yotze. Exactly what he's talking about. You're not Yotze with a microphone. So what do we have to rely on? Okay. So what are we relying on? So Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees. And Shlomo Zalman actually quotes that he discussed this with the Chazon Ish, in fact. So Rav Moshe argues that this is later in that tshuva, which I didn't put on the Marmon Koma, so I didn't want to get too much into the microphone, back and forth, more about the Kalavara part of the sugya. Rav Moshe argues and basically says that one question is kol havara. Kol havara is, do you learn it as a mixture of sounds, being a problem of a combination of sounds, or is it the problem of a weak sound? And we're going to see another tzad l'hakel in a minute. But so that's a one question. So if you learn it, assuming that emotional is not a problem at all because it's about a weak sound, and it's a strong sound. But even if you want to learn like the Minchas Elazar who argues and says, and like the Be'er Halacha really, that it's a combination of sounds, so that should be a problem. That's true. But, so that would be a problem, and Rosh Hashanah takes it even a step further. But let's leave that aside for a second. How would you, if you, I said it wrong. The combination of sounds, according to Minchas Elazar, is a problem. Rishon Zalman would say, even if it's not about a combination of sounds, it's a problem because, listen, this game, it's a problem because it's not your sound. It doesn't matter about combination. This is electricity making the sound, not your voice. So Rav Moshe writes, no. Rav Moshe says, at the end of the day, he says, the way sound works. How does sound work? Anybody, big science guys here? So the way sound works? Yeah. Well, there's sound waves that go through the air, right? They like travel through the air and they go into your ear and they produce a sound. Says Rav Moshe, every time you hear a sound, there is some kind of movement and mixing with other things, and it's always a reproduction. You never hear pure sound. There's always a reproduction, and through the reflection and refractions of other however it's traveling. So now it went through a microphone to an amplifier. But why is that different than hearing it directly? Where is there a halacha that's got to go straight from my ear into Matthew's ear, right here, with no breaks in between?
That's how it's meant to be heard. And they know what hearing is. It's meant to hear like that. How it's heard.
But let's say I hear something outside the building. Leaving inside the Taz, and the Taz, whatever Kalavara means for the Taz. But let's just say I'm outside the building. Even the Taz agrees, if you're close enough to hear whatever you need to hear, you hear it, you're Yotze. It's going through the wall. It is affected by the wall. Right? So the Sermon says it. So what it was affected by the microphone? At the end of the day, what produced this sound is you speaking. That's what Shlomo Zalman quotes with Chazanish also, that you made the sound happen. So the Rosh Shlomo Zalman, just one point, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, what about Kol Avara? So you produce the sound of the shofar as well.
Now it's combined with the
sound. So maybe you say the same thing here, it's combined with the microphone. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, maybe you have to distinguish between the Kol Avara, where it's a break, more of a break than a microphone. The microphone's more immediate, the call bar is more break. As you suggested, he said that that doesn't make any sense. The difference is so minuscule. If there's any difference, it doesn't like that. But maybe you could say that, no, if we're learning Kol Havara is about a weakened sound, like Rav Moshe held, then that's when it's a problem, when the sound is weakened. But the sound is amplified, and it's okay, and we're not holding, the mixing per se is that we don't need, there's no such thing as a pure sound. So Rav Moshe says no such thing as an absolute pure sound. Everything is mixed. And therefore, the only question is it weakened by the microphone or the Havara? And since it's not weakened, it would be okay. That's where Moshe Feinstein's Shita. You had a question? Who had a question? Joan, you had a question?
You say, can you just say that the problem with the microphone is that you're not hearing it from the source?
But you are.
Well, presumably you're using the microphone because you wouldn't be able to hear it without it.
Oh, so good. So that's what Rav Avadia Yosef writes. Rav Avadia Yosef says it depends how far you're sitting. If you could hear from the source, then it's okay.
And then that's similar to the Be'er Halacha, which says it also depends how far you are from the...
Correct. So that's what Rav Avadia says. Now, you want to say... So I thought Rav Avadia... I'm giving you some marakomas here. I thought Rav Avadia... Interesting. So I have to look careful at Rav Avadia's tshuva. So it could be he's going like this, like what you're saying. I always understood this, that depends on how far you're sitting, within the Chumar of Shlomo Zalman. If you're Machmir, well, at least if you're close, it's okay. But then I didn't understand that, because at the end of the day, what you're hearing, even when you're close, ultimately what you're hearing is the sound of the microphone. But you're suggesting within Rav Moshe that don't tell me this is your sound being produced, because you wouldn't have been able to hear it without the microphone. Do you want to say? Very interesting. Very interesting. Rav Moshe.
If you're not holding like the Taz, then why should it be any different? Because even if you could have heard it without a microphone, it doesn't make a difference. You're still hearing a mixture of sounds at this point. Therefore, it shouldn't make any difference.
Right.
The only difference is then if you hold like the Taz, then it's about the distance again.
Yeah, so I'm saying within the Taz. Oh. I think he's saying within the Taz. Within the sheet to be Makil, but maybe you can say it's worse when you need the microphone for the sound. That's what you're saying. Moshe sounds like from Moshe he's saying it's mutter across the board, and the idea would be again, who says that sound, at the end of the day, you are producing these sound waves. It's true, the microphone is helping them be heard further, but they only are produced because you're speaking into the microphone. So it is your sound. But I hear maybe that's what Ravadi Yosef
said. You can take it anywhere and say, what if you're in a room with good acoustics? If you're in a bad acoustics, you wouldn't be able to hear
right.
The
so
room,
you,
not you.
Right, so we don't seem to say that, right? So I hear what you're saying. According to Rosh Hashanah would seem to say that then Rosh Hashanah gets even more difficult, because what is a pure sound? So maybe electronics are different, you know, the distinctions get hard. Very interesting. Who? Chazal Ozer just says it, he doesn't get into the science. To the same degree Shom Zalman gets into the science, or explains how it's producing another sound. Chazal Ozer just says it's a combination. Shom Zalman doesn't go into the combination so much. He says it is a separate sound. Chazal Ozer is more about the combination of sounds. That's why I said Shom Zalman doesn't depend on Kalavara, and any pshat in Kalavara. It's just not the sound of the. It's not you. That's what Shom Zalman held. Now, the Levush, as I noted, just another Svara to be Mekel. Again, this wouldn't really help Rosh Hashanah based on what I just said, I think. But because he doesn't really get into Kalavara, just says it's not your sound. But the Levush says that this Kalavara is not about blocking out the sound like we were discussing. Is it too quiet? Is it mixed? The Levush says that the problem is in the Tkiya Shofar. It's got to be that you only hear the sound of the Shofar. Below ear of Dabar Acher without any other mixture. Avalim Shama kol shofar me'urav im Dabar Acher lo yotza. Why? Devehavarta shofar ksiv. It says the pasuk vehavarta shofar. You should make the shofar pass. What does that mean to make pass? Havarta lashon hachroza. Announce with the shofar. Kloma hachrozas havaras shofar velo Dabar Acher. You need to make an announcement, a pronouncement of the shofar without any other sound. So it's a chisar not in the shmia, but in the tkiya of the shofar. That's it's a blowing into a situation, it sounds like, where you're not producing the proper shofar sound. So the problem with how you're, it's not the proper announcement of the shofar. The proper announcement of the shofar is a pure shofar sound. Here, when you blow it into a pit, so then that is a problem of a tkiya with a dabar acher.
The tkiya there is fine. It's the pit that's after the tkiya that's messing it up.
Yeah, how's that possible? Yeah.
It's true, but the sound you're producing here is going to be a mixed sound. So you are.
If someone outside the pit, not someone inside the pit, you can't say it's tkiya if someone's yotze.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, because if you're inside, you would be yotze. That's the last thing I was going to talk about. Okay, maybe you have to hear a pure sound. You're saying why? You can hear. Somehow it's worse than, you were asking, Rafi's asking during Seder, well, what's the difference in this and hearing the shofar and the chatzotros? You say, Trey Kali, if it's chaviv, you can hear it. So somehow here it's worse, because not really two different sounds, it's kind of like producing a sound together. So, okay, so it's hearing this kind of sound that's produced, okay, I hear what you're saying. That's the Levush says it, basically, just note, and this is a Ratzit Pesach Frank is quoted as saying this, that for the Levush, this is not relevant to microphones for Kriyas and Megillah. This is something specific in Tkiya Shofar, but for Megillah, we wouldn't care about this issue. Shlomo Zalman may be relevant also because it's not your sound, but this issue of the Kalavara per se would not be an issue. Just one final note, just to say on the sugya, as the Rush, as you saw, brings a raya that there was a machlokes what bracha to make al Tkiya Shofar or Lishmua Kol Shofar or al Shmias Shofar. What's the lashon he brings? Lishmoa b'kol shofar, we say lishmoa kol shofar. So there was a machlokes, and the Rush just brings a raya. Our Mishnah is a raya. Maybe Rabbi Horn spoke about this, but our Mishnah is a raya that the mitzvah is to hear the sound of the shofar. Basically, what you just said, Rafi, that when you're standing on the outside, you are. How does he say it? The person blowing the shofar, he's not yotze, he can't hear it. Right? He's standing outside, but the guy on the inside can hear it, and that's fine. So you see that the mitzvah is clearly the shmiya and not the tkiya alone, because you're not even being yotze. And you're still, the guy who hears it is yotze, because that's the mitzvah to hear the sound of the shofar.
Take that.
So I think it's clearly not the case. The Mishnah says that it doesn't work. So the answer would have to be that it's a what? Well, that's within Rabbeinu Tam he's talking, but
no, you can't just have a sound that's
yeah. The Mishnah later on, I'm pretty sure the Mishnah later on says that it's no good, and that you just, it needs to be a sound produced by a bar chiyuva. You can't have the mitzvah is the tkiyah though has to be produced by a bar chiyuva. That's what you have to say. Which almost, in some ways, moves you closer to Rabbi Natan.
I guess you can say then it's just not a tkiyah, it's not produced by a bar chiyuva.
Correct, correct. It's not even the sound of the shofar. And even Rabbeinu Tam, that's what Lechem Mishnah says, that for Rabbeinu Tam, that it's the brachas of tkiyah shofar, of course, he agrees you have to hear the shofar, it's just that both of them are the mitzvah, and the ikar mitzvah is the tkiyah. But if you have a tkiyah without a shmiyah, you wouldn't be yotze. You need to have both, and that's why that would be okay when a person is standing on top and blowing down there, because there is a tkiyah and there is a shmiyah, just the ikar is the tkiyah. That's what Lechem Mishnah says, Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, we're going to continue after Tisha B'Av.